Look, I think it is a big game. I think once the two teams are out the pitch, Leinster-Munster is always a big game. And I think because of a number of things, Leinster having a European Cup semi-final next week, Lions selection, Ireland selection with what we hope is a summer tour of Fiji at the summer, Pride, Munster's recent record, I think it will be a big game. But there is a bit of a, I don't know, is anticlimactic is probably the wrong word, but like, you know, because they've played each other five times since, sorry, this is the fifth time since rugby restarted in August. There's a bit of over-familiarity there. I think fans have seen this game before. And, like, Leinster have won the last six in a row as well. So, there's a bit of, you know, we've watched the same thing happen over and over again. So, I think once the game starts, it'll be worth watching. I think this, you know, Leinster have picked an interesting team. Munster have gone full strength. There is, you know, always talking points when Leinster and Munster play each other. But because it's this new Rainbow Cup competition, no one really knows what to make of it yet. Definitely there's not the same anticipation as there was maybe 3 weeks ago when these two teams met in their Pro 14 final.
As you mentioned there, Munster have gone for a strong setup and they are looking for a bit of revenge, I suppose. Haven't won in six since that 26-17 victory back in 18-19. Your article today says the Leinster selection offers the Reds a chink of light under the Rainbow Cup. So what do you see there? Why do you think Munster are going so hard for this?
Well, they've nothing else this season, whereas Leinster have a European game on Sunday week away to La Rochelle, and they've decided that any players with kind of high mileage from the Six Nations who started the game against Exeter and the game against Munster is getting a rest this weekend, even though they'd last weekend off. So Robbie Henshaw, Tyke Furlong, Keane Healy, Devon Toner, players like that have all, I think there's 12 or 13 in total from the Exeter game who've been rested. Johnny Sexton's out injured, so they've decided to give Ross Byrne the weekend off as well. His brother Harry is playing. Whereas Munster don't have a game next weekend. They're out, you know, the Pro 14 is over. They lost in the final. They're out of Europe. This is their last chance at silverware. And for all that there may be an element of development, and they've gone for a fairly inexperienced bench, a very young bench, the you know, the starting teams clearly shows what they want out of this game and this competition, because they, even though the Rainbow Cup is a new, short, you know, flawed competition, they still want to win it and send CJ Stander, Tommy O'Donnell and Billy Holland and JJ Hannerin off on a high. So they have plenty of motivation, and, you know, they've got Conor Murray starting. They've got more experienced players across the park in a couple of positions. So that will give them some confidence, even if their recent record against Leinster is pretty horrendous.
Josh Murphy with his Enniscorthy links is starting at number six for Leinster today. How is he seen in the Leinster organisation? Because he's somebody that's always been there for him. When the internationals go off, Josh is somebody who steps up. You know, he's very much the first of the second choice, if you get me there. So what kind of position is he in now, and how can he take that step up to being a first team player?
Yeah, performing today is a big one, because, you know, he has played in Europe. He got a nod in the pool stages last year against French opposition. I think what they really like about him is his size. You know, they have a lot of very good back row players, but Josh is brings a certain, you know, an extra bit of oomph in the contact area. I think he's quite a little bit like Reece Ruddock in some ways, and Ruddock is, you know, he's 30, 31. I think they see him as kind of the successor in that department, but the problem he has is that the players, you know, Reece is not going anywhere just yet. You know, you've Caelan Doris, Jack Conan vying for the number eight shirt. If, you know, if you want to get both of them into the team, then one of them switches to six. But they like Josh Murphy. That they've no one stays in that Leinster setup for long if they're not rated very, very highly. He's one of those players that I wonder if he was playing in another province, would he get more opportunities? You look at Gavin Coombs and the way he's burst onto the scene with Munster. He's on the bench today, but he starts in the big games for them normally. Whereas up until now, Josh Murphy is a squad player. How he takes the next step, it's really performing and dominating in these games and showing that he can, because I think, like, there's obviously a lot of high-quality players due to come in next week, but Stuart Lancaster and Leo Cullen have demonstrated a history of picking players when they're playing well and they're in form. So all he can do is play well, train well and impress. And I think Leinster are pretty good that if you're dominant in a game like this, they'll then trust you to be dominant in the game after this. So, like, he's definitely rated, he's definitely a very good player, but he does have a couple of steps to go, and he's in a very, very competitive field.
You mentioned Harry Byrne is starting at fly half tonight. We had Gordon Darcy on with us recently, and he was trying to calm down the hype around this young man, because there isn't a lot of hype around him. Have you seen much of him, and is he ready to take that next step up?
I think he is. I've seen a fair bit of him. I was one of those who was pushing for him to be included in the Six Nations because I think he's probably better than Billy Burns and probably than his brother Ross, although Ross did have a very good game in Exeter, and when he's playing for Leinster looks really, really comfortable, maybe less so when he's playing for Ireland. I think part of the pressure came from the man he's playing opposite today, and that's Joey Carberry, because he was out for so long. Now that Joey Carberry's back and playing, there's less pressure, there's less urgency around Harry Byrne, because I think they're quite similar players. And if Joey Carberry is available for Ireland, you know, and Johnny Sexton's injured, then you've got a very, very, you know, ready-made replacement, even though he's still only coming back from that long injury layoff. But Harry Byrne has the quality, he has the temperament, he has a really, really good running game, he's creative, he makes good decisions, but he still makes a lot of mistakes. But the only way he's going to learn is by making those mistakes on the biggest stage, and playing against Munster, starting against Munster is a really good opportunity for him tonight.
We're still no closer to finding out what Tadhg Furlong's contract situation is. You know, we've a Rugby World Cup coming up. You know, he seems to be very settled down here. We had our own reporter, Liam Spratt, telling us that, you know, he's very much settled in the Wexford way of life and, you know, loves his life here at Leinster. So is there any chance that he will go abroad? Because, you know, he could literally walk into any team in the world. But is this kind of a contract, you know, negotiation situation, or is he actually thinking of leaving?
No, I think it is a negotiation, and he's obviously very, very valuable to Ireland and Irish rugby. He's, you know, the best player in his position in the world, and he's fit again and he's playing well. He's playing like the best player in his position in the world at the moment, you know. So he knows his value, his agents know his value, his advisors, and I think he's maybe trying to get as much in a difficult situation in what is a very important contract for him, because what is he, 27 now? This is a key contract in his career. You know, this 27 to 30 period is probably the prime earning situation of his career. And after all, this is a short career, and he's entitled to get as much out of it. He's like, you know, he puts himself through an awful lot of punishment in that scrum. He deserves to be paid very well for it. And there's certainly no mad talk in the rumor mill that he's going to go. And usually, when a player is up at the end of the season and there is interest, you would have heard through either French sources or through Irish sources that you know that he's been casting his name around. Leinster did go out and recruit a Samoan tight head from the Crusaders, Michael Alaatoa, but even still there's been no real murmurings that Tadhg Furlong's going to go. At the same time, it's late April. Usually these things will be nailed down, and you know, a central contract will be nailed down much earlier than this. So I think he knows his value, and he's probably holding out to try and get something close to that, and maybe there's a bit of back and forth going on. I would expect him to be there next season, but if there's any sniff that he might want to leave, I would say there's a queue of French, Japanese and English clubs looking to take him because they know how good he is. But you know, while he's entitled to go and look, and it would be great to see him go abroad at some stage, it would be bad timing for everyone at this stage because he's so good and he's so important to Ireland, and I think he will stay.
Hopefully, anyway, we've all our fingers crossed here down in Wexford anyway. And taking a look back at the game tonight, we saw Connacht benefit last night from the new captain's challenge rule. They got over the line against Ulster. A few rule changes in action tonight if people are tuning in. We have the red card substitutes and the goal line dropouts as well. So are you in favour of these rule changes? And I suppose with a competition that's just been brought in like this kind of willy-nilly, it's probably the time to try something out.
Yes, the only problem for Leinster is that they're playing by the old rules next week, so they'll just hope there's no real confusion. But no, I think I'm not in favour of them or against them. I think the fact that it's a trial is a good idea. You know, you put them in place, you see what they're like, and they come to a conclusion after six rounds in the final. Connacht certainly made great use of the captain's challenge last night. They challenged the call late in the game for a knock-on that was going to basically call the game over, and the challenge was correct and they got a penalty instead and went on to score the winning try, Peter Sullivan, deep into injury time to beat Ulster away from home. So it certainly worked out for them. It's a bit like, you know, challenging a call in Wimbledon using Hawkeye. You know, you've an entitlement to make a, you know, to point for their captain to point out something that they think is wrong. The 20-minute red card, I'd be dubious about that, but let's see how it goes. It certainly is it enough punishment for foul play? I think there's definitely a debate around that. And then the dropout, I mean, it's probably going to reduce the number of scrums. Will it lead to more kicking? You know, basically, if a team is held up over the line, the defensive team gets a dropout rather than the attacking team get a 5-minute scrum. So interested to see how they work out, but I think it's too early to make any full judgments right now.
And finally, Rory, we've been focusing on the Leinster end of things here because we're a Wexford station, but you have a brilliant interview with BJ Botha in the paper there today if people want to check that one out. Obviously, a legend down there in Limerick too. So Leinster have that big European game coming up. They don't want to lose any momentum after winning the Pro 14 recently. Munster are looking for a bit of revenge, but who needs to win tonight?
Munster. Like six in a row, like they've never lost this many in a row to Leinster before, so they're on a historically bad run. Leinster have spooked them, they've got in their heads, you know, they didn't perform in the Pro 14 final, and ultimately the Leinster team that they've picked, they've got their fourth choice scrum half starting, they've got second, third choice players across the board, sprinkled in a couple of players like Gary Ringrose, Caelan Doris are back in the team after injury. But you know, if Munster are not able to beat, if the Munster first team are not able to beat this Leinster team, then God, Munster have got problems. Irish rugby probably has a problem in terms of the balance of power between them. They should be strong enough. They should have what it takes to beat this Leinster team. But they haven't won in Dublin since 2014 or 2015, so it's not going to be an easy task. But Munster need to win it. Leinster, I think, you know, will move to Rala Rochelle, bring back their big guns, and dust themselves off if they don't get over the line. But they have such an incredible quality and depth that you wouldn't write even this Leinster team off.